has my shit together, is my shit together.
Nice personality combination, hostile and intolerant.
So that's it then. No one else really knows anything.
Talking yet. What? Your headset's not plugged in. Hello and welcome back to Stacks and Jacks. I'm somehow Jimmy on the board over there doing something, but he's on the board. SP Futures down 11, NASDAQ Futures down 43. We have, see, individual stacks in the down, not much moving. CPI coming out this morning, so we have to, see what the estimates and stuff on that. Do we have Professor Kevin?
Yeah, good morning. You had a little open mic there.
We did. Jimmy said something about he couldn't hear me, and I said, well, it's because I wasn't talking. So we're working through it. We'll get there.
Oh, and always it works better when you plug it in.
Yes.
And the cans were not plugged in.
That's what he said. Now his something was not plugged in, but evidently he's on now.
Okay. Hey, I have a question for you.
Yep.
And that is, this kind of goes back to your conversation with Carl yesterday, and I don't think you quite finished off the thought.
I never do.
That happens all the time. He brought up the rioters, and you told the Star Trek story about the both sides have a point. You know, ultimately, Data learning that the sides have a point. I'm just kind of curious, what point are these rioters making?
I think the point is they don't want the immigration officials running around grabbing people from wherever they are. I mean, some of the stories here where people are going for their appointment with the immigration officials, and they're grabbing them there and things like that. They grabbed one guy I know right in front of his kid when he walked out of school picking the kid up. I think people are getting really pissed at that.
Do they have valid warrants?
I don't care whether they do. I mean, they may be valid. I don't know.
So you want if you're going to go pick up people with criminal convictions who are in the country illegally, you're worried about the style points. That's the message, is you're not doing
it. I'm not
it
convinced
right.
that they have all the warrants that they need on all these people. I don't know. I think they're being a little sloppy. I don't think they're. I don't know that they're that.
Do
they
have evidence of that? Because they're saying they have their.
I don't have any. Here's my problem with this whole thing, Kevin. I don't think they. Why do I have to believe them? They haven't shown that they can tell the truth anywhere. I know people listen to Newsmax all day long and they believe the thing all day long. That's what they believe.
We're not talking about Newsmax.
I'm saying I'm not convinced that I don't know the whole episode of what they're who's making these convictions. I mean, who's making the warrants? I don't know what they're. People are afraid to do stuff right now, and people are afraid to hire people. People are afraid to go working for people. I don't know that they're that careful. I honestly don't. I don't know where they are. Or they aren't.
They're not that careful.
I don't. I mean, all of a sudden there's this huge list of people they're going to go grab. The person here, who they deported, he'd been here forever. He just had a regular job. Nobody knew the guy was. He didn't even know. I don't think he was a criminal.
Did he have a criminal conviction?
I don't know. I'm just saying the guy disappeared and haven't heard from him again. That's not exactly our style here. Maybe it is now.
Okay, so you just don't like the approach.
I don't like the approach. No.
Even though the process, what they're trying to accomplish is valid.
What are they trying to accomplish?
They're trying to take people who've entered the country illegally, been convicted of crimes, and have been released because their municipalities will not cooperate with ICE, and they're trying to go get those people and deport them from the country.
And you think that they're being amazingly careful. Why?
Well, because they need to go to a judge and get a warrant for
it. Maybe.
Well, see, so basically your approach to that is, well, they're all just lying.
My approach is not to throw, your approach is, if Trump says it, I believe it.
You got to support that if that's going to be your accusation.
No, I don't, because they don't seem to be supporting theirs.
You don't watch any of these interviews on TV where they talk
these people, to me, there's something really wrong with them. Who exactly is the enemy here? I mean, who is the enemy? Person who's been working here for 10 years? If somebody from some Venezuelan mob somehow made it across the border and he's running around here selling drugs, do I want him the hell out of here? Yes, I do.
Yeah, those are the people they're going
with. Yeah, that's I don't know that the other people seem to, if you're going to the meeting to try and get your green card and they're picking you up there, doesn't seem like you're that much of a villain if you're in the middle of the process. I don't think they're being careful, let's put it that way. And I don't think they care.
All right. So is that the message that the rioters are
from what I understand it is. You're saying that every single one of the rioters has no reason to be there. I don't know. I mean, I honestly don't know what is going on in LA. And by the way, neither do you.
They don't have much of a reason to be dropping rocks from above, from the overpasses onto the cop cars. They don't have much of a reason to be assaulting cops. They don't have much of a reason to be burning cars, doing damage, starting fires, and so on.
I have no idea what the situation is in LA.
Let me finish. I want to know what message that's sending that we're all supposed to be getting.
When did I support somebody dropping a brick on somebody's car?
Didn't, but that's what I'm asking. This is what these riots are about. That's what they're doing. So if they have a message that they want to send, it ain't getting through to me.
Riots are never a good idea. I've never supported one of them, ever. What are you talking about? What I'm saying is, for some reason, these people, whoever they are, feel they have a point. You asked me what I think the point was, and I think the point was people were getting picked up in seemingly an improper or some kind of an unusual way. Whether they are or they aren't, I don't know, neither do you. We're not in L.A. So that seems to be the message. I tell you what, Kevin, I'm with you on this stuff. When they had the guys here that were to tear down Wall Street guys that were in front of the Board of Trade forever?
Yeah, Occupy Wall Street.
Yeah, yep. So I one night I went out there and said, I'll tell you what, guys, what do you really want to have happen? And I'll tell you what, if you have a leader here, I'll talk to him and I'll bring him on the show. I mean, I said to the guy, I honestly can't figure out what your point is, which is exactly what you're asking me. And the dude says, well, we don't have a leader. I said, well, there's got to be somebody that can articulate the five reasons why you're here. Oh, no, we don't have anybody like that. I said to the guy, what are you doing here? The same thing you're asking me. I would like to see some, if there's a leader of these rioters, maybe there is, maybe there isn't. Maybe people just out there because they love to riot, which is not my cup of tea. I'd love to find somebody and say, okay, what do you want? I'm with you on that. All I said yesterday was, is somewhere along the line, in certain cases, that has been effective. It certainly was in the civil rights movement. Whether this particular case has any legs or not, I don't know how abusive these guys have been going around and grabbing people. They may not be abusive at all. They may always have a warrant. From one of the few stories I've heard here, I kind of question that, but I don't know enough about it, Kevin. I don't. If you were to give me a list of the 200 people they picked up, and all of a sudden all 200 of them look to me like they're somehow they all escaped jail or something, I'm right with you. I'm just saying, it seems like it's happening awful fast. I don't know who these people are. I mean, we used to have a few people here, and they were in the building next door that we used to be in. The ICE people were all in there. There were like 5 or 10 guys. Now, all of a sudden, it seems like they have a hell of a lot more. Where did they come from? I'd like to know more about the whole thing, to be honest with you, from both sides, because I really don't. But what I said yesterday about the Enterprise is exactly right. Sometimes it's been effective, and sometimes it hasn't been, and sometimes all you do is wreck stuff, right? And I don't know what this one is. I honestly don't.
Well, whatever message they're trying to convey, it ain't working. It isn't getting across.
Okay. And we have a president.
That's why I was curious, because if there's
I never once said I supported these people.
What is it?
I never once said I supported these people. The only time I said I had somewhat of a concern is when anybody who disagrees with the Israelis' handling of the Gaza is not necessarily anti-Semitic, and I'll stand by that, because I am not anti-Semitic at all, and yet I've never liked Netanyahu from the day he was in there, and I think they're using this as an excuse to do more than they have to. That's one man's opinion. Now, when you kill 40,000 people, you're going to make some enemies. I know that, don't you?
Well, you probably will, yes. But I'm getting back to, okay, so you have, you're citing some stories.
Nobody really knows what these people are after. It would not like they have a Martin Luther King that comes out and says, this is what we want. And that's the problem with Wall Street.
Tom, that was my question. I don't care what your message would be. I'm kind of wondering what their message is.
I think
am not interpreting it in any positive way.
And it also, it kind of bothers me that these groups, Occupy Wall Street, these people, the people who rioted here in Chicago, if they don't really have a leader, is it just chaos? What is it?
No, it's organized. It's third party organized. You don't think all of these people spontaneously printed?
I think all you need is copies
of the same sign, do you?
All I know is that people somehow, with the social media, people can manage to get 2,000 people at a party at a moment's notice. So I don't know. I'd love to know the whole details of the whole thing. I really would. I'd love to have somebody tell me on the show. This is how this guy was communicated to. This is how he was told to be here. Was it? I know in Chicago, there were people that were watching the some of the websites, and if you knew what you were doing, you could tell where they were going next, the robbers. Now, as to who was doing that, I have no idea. Somebody was. So there is somebody doing something. I'm with you on that. It's very troubling. It's very troubling. I'm actually looking more for answers here than I'm giving opinions. If that's what I'm trying to do anyway, because I don't know the answer here. I'd love to find out. I mean, who's the third party behind it? Why would somebody want that? What makes you think it's always the deep state?
Nobody would want chaos in the United States.
Who burned the Reichstag, Kevin?
I don't know. I wasn't there. Who burned it?
Well, Hitler's guys burned it, and they blamed everybody else, using it as an excuse to take even more power.
Okay. All right. Let's run with that conspiracy theory.
I'm just saying it has. It's not like in human events. Everybody thinks they know who's doing this stuff, and maybe they don't. I would hate to think it's anybody that's here that's doing something like that. But what would somebody? Who benefits by chaos here, other than people that are making a lot of money? Doesn't benefit you or me, does it?
Well, doesn't do a damn thing for me.
No, or me either. But I think people need to think this through necessarily, in the sense that what exactly are we trying to? If anybody has some sort of criminal problem here, be it white collar, immigrant, citizen, I think we need to deal with it. You know, I'm about those most law and order dude there is, but I don't. This constantly focusing and making enemies out of people, making problems only that you can solve.
Who are we making enemies out of?
We're making enemies out of anybody here who isn't a citizen.
No, I don't think so.
Ask around.
Well, that would be what you call unscientific empiricism.
Okay, fine. I don't know that somebody who's here illegally has been working for 20 years is my enemy.
That's not, somebody who's here illegally and somebody who's not a citizen are two different constructs.
What do you mean? A lot of people that are here that have been working forever were here illegally. They swam across the river.
There are a lot of people here legally who are not citizens. So when you say the enemy is anybody who's not a citizen, that's not true.
I have all kinds of people that I know will not come up with names There's people that are cleaning ladies. There are people that are sisters of cleaning ladies. There are people who are from Mexico. There are people from other places that have been in this country for 20 years that don't have their citizenship and don't have a green card. Are they all our enemies?
Have they been convicted of crimes?
I don't know. Traffic stops? I don't know. What's a crime?
Well, I think we've been starting with the violent criminals, so the people who have assault charges and drug trafficking and how careful are they? Those are the targets. That's the layer they're going after right now.
How do you know?
Well, I'm taking people at their word.
Why?
And I also know. Wait a second. And I also know they don't have the bandwidth to go round up everybody. What they have said, Holman has specifically said, though, is if you happen to be adjacent to somebody, in other words, you're there and you're in the country illegally and you're hanging out with, you know, the drug trafficker, the human trafficker, the person convicted of a violent crime, if you happen to be there when we go to arrest them, you're probably going to get arrested, too.
Okay, now that's legal? That's moral?
You are allowed to say people who are in the country illegally have to there's a process for that, and they can deal with it. But yeah,
we're going on the honor system. Does that include them?
What do you mean the honor system?
If you know somebody who's a crook, you go to jail too. Boy, I'd hate to do that in Washington, wouldn't you?
No, that's not what I said. What I said is, if you are in the country illegally and you are hanging out with somebody when they go to arrest him, you could be subject to arrest as well.
Okay. And we're trusting these people's moral fiber. So what if a guy named Kevin O'Neill went to the Home Depot?
Moral fiber do you want to trust?
I don't trust these people as far as I can throw them.
Who are these people?
Anybody in this Trump administration, and really half the people in the Biden administration. None of them have ever told the truth in their life. So if I didn't like you, and I know you went to the Home Depot and hired two guys to clean up your backyard, you are aiding and abetting an illegal, aren't you? Could I put you in jail if I didn't like you?
Yes, you could.
Should I?
Should you?
Wait,
if
why
I
not?
Knowingly hired somebody illegal, I should
we don't have any administration here who seems to like to put the law at the people they don't like. So if you give the guy $20, you're liable to go for what, 10 years? Are we all okay with that?
You know where your legal jeopardy is? Is if you hire somebody knowingly and you help them, or you rent to them, or you do whatever, and that person goes out and commits a felony.
Do you have to check their papers?
A violent felony, then you have aided that person.
Okay. I know where this is going, maybe, Kevin, because it's going that way in our industry. If you sign up for an account here, even if you have a bank, two or three bank accounts, and you seem to have a job, and you have all these kinds of things, you have a driver's license, if we don't check you in Interpol and about five other places, or wherever my brother has a check, I've never gotten into it, if we don't check virtually every place for you, we are at fault. So now, when you say if you hire somebody, if you knew them or didn't know them, do you have to check their papers? Is it like the Nazi movie? Your papers, please? Every time somebody walked down the street?
What do you have to bring with you the first day of work?
To help somebody unload their truck? Nothing.
What? Okay. And if you... The key point is knowingly. So, when I hired the young man up the street to move a lot of dirt for me, I didn't ask nor did I care, but I certainly didn't have any reason to believe he wasn't legally in.
And if I didn't like Kevin O'Neill, I said you should have known, you should have asked.
Well, I suppose you could do that.
And I think it's happening.
Is that what's happening?
It's getting very close.
What does that mean?
If you don't notice a trend the last 3 months, you're not looking. Anyway, I have some questions for you regarding our guys. I've been going back and forth on a couple of evidently recruits the Notre Dame basketball team has got. Kevin, are you aware of any changes in the NCAA normal signing agreement from 20 years ago? Has that changed at all, given what's happened?
I'm not aware. I don't know one way or the other.
What do you, does a school have a right to change it, or does everybody have the same one?
It was a standard form.
And you don't think they can addendum or anything if there's money
not
involved?
Not that I know of.
Interesting.
It's a standard NCAA form.
So if there's all this money involved, and how do you think that all plays out? How do you think those contracts are written? Who are they written with?
Well, generally, the way it has always worked, as far as I know, is the if the athlete is 18, the athlete can sign the form. If the athlete is under 18, the parents have to co-sign.
So that's for the original NCAA agreement, but there's somehow or another, there seems to be packages being put together for people. Who do you think those contracts are with? I mean, I'm asking. I don't know. I mean, is it sponsors? Is it with alumni groups? Is it all the above? I mean, is a kid signing five things?
Well, I'm sure there are third-party contracts. I really have not gotten into that new judgment that new settlement that was announced last week. So I don't know how that plays in and what limitations that creates. So I just don't know about that. I bet you Lou will.
Yeah, it seems like I don't know how. I'm not sure exactly how people can demand money from a name, image, and likeness when they didn't. How that becomes a? Here's the legal part. I mean, I have all these questions, Kevin, and nobody cares what the answers are. But it seemed like the original Supreme Court agreement allowed individuals, if they had, I'll use the term talents, or they had stuff that was saleable, they got to sell their own stuff. And by the way, the school couldn't sell their stuff, meaning their face or their hair color or whatever, without doing something with them. They didn't own that. Let's say that should have happened 10 years before or 20 years before, which I think it probably should have, and I think you probably would agree on that. How does that, just from that judgment, which I think all of us agree with, I think we do, don't we? The idea that the schools have popped up in the meantime to find a way for, you know, the second string offensive guard to get paid, I'm not so sure 10 years ago somebody necessarily deserves something from that, because I don't even think it's part of this judgment of Supreme Court, or where am I wrong here?
Yeah, there was some kind of a retro settlement for some of the past athletes. It's really hard to say, because as I look back in the history, I think you're right about what the original, what the court envisioned was that people would be able to start striking their own deals. And that was actually what did happen for the first little while. And then all the schools had these arm's length electives that just started basically running a payroll for the athletics department. And my problem with all of it goes back to the NCAA. They had no plan whatsoever, just no idea what they would do if they lost in court, even though they kept losing in court through a succession of appeals and so on. So, you know, the NCAA was caught completely flat-footed, and now you have these third-party collectives, and they had no basis for regulating them, and once you open Pandora's box, it's pretty damn hard to put stuff back in there.
Yeah, I'm curious as to how I would ever make the legal argument, because you can make a legal argument or anything, I guess, is to how somehow or another there should have been a collective 20 years ago and I should have gotten paid. I mean, that's a tough one. And yet they seem to have done it, eh?
And that's just a workaround. I keep saying sooner or later somebody's going to challenge that with a comp case or something. They're going to want to go after the school, and rightfully so, because they are essentially employees. If you create this silly arm's length arrangement. And it's just a pass-through to avoid legal responsibilities. I think courts will see through that.
I don't know, boy. Anyway, let's go to break and let's, because it's, I'm not, boy, the courts, that's a tough one too, eh? SP Futures down 13, NASDAQ Futures down 51. Be right back, Stocks and Jocks.
Hi, I'm Audrey Johnson, an owner of Home Source Realty and a frequent contributor to Stocks and Jocks. Do you know when the unofficial start of real estate season is in the Chicago area? It's actually right after the Super Bowl. Yep, it's the time when the guys will finally get off the couch and the families start looking for homes in the area. Now, interest rates also have been hovering around 4%, and the selection of properties are great. And if you're a first-time home buyer, there is an Illinois program that allows you to purchase a home for only 1% down. And that also applies to anyone who hasn't owned a home in the past 3 years. So if you're thinking about it, this is the perfect time. Call or email me, and I will send you a free list of homes designed to your specifications in your area. My phone number is 708-349-3456, or you can email me, Audrey Johnson at Realtor.com. That's Audrey Johnson at Realtor.com.
Stocks, jocks,
Stocks and Jocks.
Stocks and Jocks.
You are out of control.
Here, right now, right here, right now, right now.
Okay, Chief.
Welcome back, Stocks and Jocks. S&P Futures down 10, NASDAQ Futures down 42. We'll keep this brief because at 7:30, all the stuff's going to go haywire when the CPI number comes out. So we have gold up 790. Let's see if we do a quick run through Asia here because they're not going to change because they're already closed. Nikkei up 209.5%. Hang Seng up 204.8%. Shanghai up 17.5%. So everybody, the upside, the optimism on these trade talks, there appears to be the framework of a deal that has to be ratified by Trump and Xi. So, you know, hopefully something gets settled here. I don't, the issues with China, as maybe Kevin and I will talk about way back, at least to me, are bigger than with other countries. But, you know, we'll see what Kevin's opinion is on that. So I'm not so sure what a deal there necessarily means. But anyway, the other countries, I think, are relatively simple. But again, that's just me talking. Europe, like I say, Europe will change with us when this number comes out. But right now, the DAX up 60 cents, so call that flat. FTSE up a buck, call that flat. Kekaron down 10.1. We have oil, which has been on a move lately. It's up another 96 cents today, 65.94. So even though the Saudis said they're going to put more oil in, we went flying down. Then OPEC Plus, which includes Russia, says that they're not going to put, those guys aren't going to increase their oil, but we really didn't move very much. We were $62 three, 4 days ago. But now we're $65.94, which is the very upper end of this, let's say, last few months, recent range. Jimmy, what do you got for us, Trevi? Weather Sports? The Cubs, home runs.
Yes, the Cubs won last night. They beat the Phillies 8-4. The Sox also won, so we had a good day in Chicago. They beat Houston 4-2, and the Diamondbacks beat the Mariners 10-3. Talk about home runs. In the Stanley Cup, the Panthers have taken the lead 2-1. They won 2-1, and they are up on the series 2-1. And going on traffic, right now the inbound Kennedy is 2 Montrose, 21 minutes. Inbound Edens to Lake Cook, 40. Inbound Eisenhower from Wolf is 27. Inbound Dan Ryan from 95th is 10 minutes. Inbound Stevenson from the 294 to the Dan Ryan is 31 minutes. In Chicago today, we are at 65, high of 90. Again, we will have hazy sun regards to the smoke from the wildfires in Canada. But we will be clear tonight at 64. In Phoenix, it's 82 degrees and a high of 109. And tonight will be clear with a low of 80. Back to you, Chief.
Kevin, what do you make of this stretch in this? Well, I guess I already gave you my opinion. Why are we stretching these finals out so much? They're playing tonight. They're playing. This is NBA. They're playing tonight. They're playing Friday. They don't play again until Monday. What's the? Seems like.
I'm sure they're looking for prime TV dates with some kind of data behind it suggesting that these are the days that they should be playing.
But Jimmy, you got to pull Kevin's volume up.
think it's absurd. You know, we're more than a third into the baseball season now, and we're supposed to give a damn about basketball. That just doesn't make sense to me.
Well, you got to be a real hockey fanatic to like this one, huh? Edmonton and Florida.
Yeah, it's great hockey. So I don't mean to denigrate it. I'm just saying it's, most people have checked out of hockey. Most people have checked out of basketball.
Yeah.
And they do it, of course. Again, we've talked about this with some of the TV stuff with Major League Baseball. It's really a function of it's a function of them being short-term focused instead of long-term focused. Not good strategists. Strategists look long-term. They're just grabbing whatever dough they can get. I see what's in it for Apple TV. They want to get people exposed to their product. Okay, I get what they're doing, but I don't get what Major League Baseball is doing.
Well, maybe we're showing signs of our era or something, Kevin. But I was actually talking to Jimmy and I were watching a game last night, and Bill Murphy was with us, and Bill's got all these grandkids that are in all these sports, right? They live up north, northern suburbs, and I think the parents are doing pretty well and whatever, but the parents are really into sports. Bill's daughters sure were, and all these guys either played lacrosse or something, but you and I think are I'll say we're Luddites to a certain extent, Kevin. There was a season for football where we played. You played football every night, and then when it got cold, you went inside and played basketball. And then when it got warm again, you came outside and played baseball. I think these kids are picking their sports so early, there's no end to this. I mean, clearly, Salvador in a building here tells me that the soccer leagues that his grandson is in down in Texas, they're in some league where the kids are 15. They drive from Tyler to Dallas every weekend for tournament games. And this is the middle of summer. I mean, I said when they're done, they play with the high school, and that's the fall. And that, but I can't. To be honest, I can't even tell you what the seasons are of these sports, because if you're in one of them, you're only in one, and you play all year long. Don't know if ours was better or what, but
what we used to call the traveling teams are now calling club teams, and yeah, you see a lot of that. You see a lot of people skipping high school to play for the club teams.
But it's not. It is. You know, high school soccer in Chicago. Jimmy, help me with this. I think it's a fall sport. But I think if you're in a club, there's no spring, summer, fall. You just play, right?
That is correct. My neighbor had a son, and he does it with baseball, that they are literally playing baseball 9 months out of the year now.
Really?
Here in Chicago, believe it or not.
And yet you do get athletes, young athletes, who were multi-sport players. So, you know, there are a lot who come up, and they'll play basketball and football, or baseball and football. You know, Cade Horton on the Cubs is an example. He decided to pass on scholarship offers to play quarterback so that he and instead took his baseball scholarship. But coming up through the ranks, he was playing multiple sports.
Guys
still exist.
The athletes, the individual people, hell, Kevin, we knew guys, if they picked up a table tennis ball, it's the first time they ever did it, they were good at it, right? The only sport that I think is not like that is golf. You could be the world's best athlete and be a horrible golfer, right?
But you don't think Charles Barkley's very good?
Oh, God. Oh, God. But, I mean...
Let's try this out. What do you suppose some of the rarest single-game feats are in Major League Baseball?
Well, cycle's pretty rare.
Let me see. Yeah, cycle's not in the top 10.
Really? I actually had one for you today, but you beat me to the punch. What is the rarest play?
And okay, well, first of all, no hitter is only number 10.
Well, it's got to be a perfect game in there somewhere.
Well, immaculate inning is 114. Perfect game, immaculate inning is just nine pitches, three strikeouts. Perfect game is 24. There's only been 24 of those.
only 18 four-home run games, only 15 10 RBI games.
How many four-home run games are there in a non-extra inning game? There can't be many of those.
Don't know.
It's got to be less, right?
I don't know about that. Yeah, I don't have the breakout on that. So the 10 RBI game is 15. Also with 15 is the unassisted triple play. Two grand slams in a game is 13. 20 strikeout games, there's only been five of those. And three hits in one inning, and there's only that's only happened three times. What do you suppose is the thing that has only happened once?
Well, you got me stumped there.
Two grand slams in the same inning.
Wow. You gotta have a lot of help for that. How many times do you come up with the bags loaded twice in the same inning?
Yeah, that's pretty damn hard.
Yeah, that's got to be number two.
That might be that, or at least 1A, yeah. So, pretty cool thing I stumbled across.
Yeah, you know, I get a lot of that stuff from this Quora thing. You know what? Well, I'll ask you this question, then I'll tell you what has me totally stumped. And this umpire said, "What's the rarest call in baseball?" And I'll give you a clue. If you call it, everybody gets three bases.
Oh my goodness! What would be an automatic three bases that's not a ground rule? I don't know, Tom. I can't even guess.
If you somehow detach a piece of your equipment and touch a batted ball with it.
So, like, if you throw your baseball, take off your baseball glove and throw it at the ball?
Yeah, and it actually hits it.
So you can throw it at the ball all you want, as long as you don't hit it. But if you hit it, everybody gets three bases. That's interesting.
Because it goes for, if a guy wings it up in the air, and a ball that was going to the seats hits the glove and doesn't.
Yeah, that's true. That would be a good toss.
Well, that'd be a hell of a good toss, wouldn't it? Now, if it's your hat, it just takes the ball and a hat into the seats, and you'd lose a hat, right?
Well, I wouldn't give it back.
I wouldn't either. You know, somehow or another, and this, we you know, everybody thinks they're pretty smart, right? Or, I mean, most people. And usually the dumber you are, the smarter you think you are, because the more you know you don't know. At least that's the way I come across it. But I'm in this thing about, I don't know how I got in this Quora thing. If you read stuff, they decide that that's what you want to read, right? So obviously I started reading stuff about baseball, so I get all the baseball stuff, and I get all the, you know. But somehow or another, I read some stuff on these physicists like Einstein and these guys. And all of a sudden, every day I get a name I never even knew existed that did some major breakthrough in physics or mathematics and stuff. Kevin, I see these guys, I see the age they're in, 1880, 1909 and stuff, in this blackboard. How the hell is somebody smart enough to look at the world around you and start postulating what has to happen, electrophysics, quantum mechanics, things like that? Even if you have that kind of an imagination, how the hell do you start scribbling out on a blackboard and prove it? How would you even start that? I mean, these guys are, talk about a guy playing Major League Baseball, the difference between him and me is pretty damn far, right? These guys' idea of mentality, and most people think, you know, I'm a pretty bright guy, but on a scale of 1 to 10, what am I, like a 2 compared to these guys? And how do you sit there and go, let me see if I can prove on a blackboard like the space-time continuum? How would anybody even think of it in the first place, and how would you go about proving it? Or, you know, in some of these things are, one guy said some kid was late for class somewhere. He became a major physicist. He was late for class, and it's a very advanced math class, and the guy had two problems on the board that he was showing the class had never been solved. The kid thought that they were homework. Took him home, and the next morning he walks in with the answers. And the guy goes, "Who did that?" He goes, "I did." "You did what?" They had been mathematical problems that thousands of professors couldn't solve, and this kid thought they were homework and solved them. And some of this physics stuff where they, you know, quantum mechanics and the gravitational, and how you could prove on the blackboard that light would bend around gravity, a gravitational, how the hell do you prove that or even think about it? And we think we're so smart, right?
Yeah, well, the proof process is all about scientific method, but it's the envisioning process that's, you know, might be the more awesome of the two.
But how do you put it to mathematics? I mean, Einstein, all he had was math, right?
Because math is truth?
I, it's a math that I never understood. I'm just saying it is stunning how there's some really, really smart people around, isn't it? And their mind must work totally different than yours and mine.
They're so far off the charts. Yeah, I mean, the same thing that you see with a professional athlete. We can all relate to that because, you know, so many of us have played a sport in the first place, and then you get an understanding. I was talking to a friend a couple of days ago, and he said, you know, he had, you know, some kind of thing where he could walk out onto Wrigley Field, and he said, just you stand out there a step or two into the outfield from the shortstop position, and you look at what that throw is. He said, how far off the charts do you have to be able to make that throw? Gun a guy down from there.
Yeah, it really is. I mean, if you've never been on a field just wandering around, I mean, look at the ground they cover in the outfield. You know, it's funny, Jim, the guy who does the color for the Cubs TV, one of the guys said to him something about, you know, difference, you know, baseball players and athletes and stuff, and Deshays, well, now, you know, to be a major league pitcher is a real, you know, it's a big deal. He goes, I had a skill set, you know, that I was able to make a career out of, and I'm very thankful for it. He goes, but in regards to being an athlete, he said, in spring training, we'd go out and shag flies. He goes, if one came near me, I'd put up the mitt and grab it. These other guys, they're running the spots. I'm sitting there going, you started here and look where you are, you know, a second and a half later. I mean, he goes, it's stunning how athletic some of these people are. I mean, and just how good, how much different they are than like regular people. And he said, who was the best athlete you ever saw? And he goes, that would probably be Dave Winfield. And he was what? Was he a three-sport guy?
Yeah.
And he goes, the guy was so big, so strong, so fast. he goes, you look at him and you go, the guy's not even human. He goes, you can't compare him to me. I was a guy that I just pitched. It's a big, a lot. If you put me in the outfield, it would have been a disaster. Or a shortstop, it would have been a joke. Some of these guys can do everything.
I believe this is why a pitcher who can hit is so rare, is because the skill set, for, you know, first of all, if you're a hitter and you're playing in the field, the skill set required to play in the field is, you know, substantial enough. And then you pile on top of it the skills required to hit, which are completely different skills than the skills required to pitch. And once you throw it all together and say, if you get a guy who can do all of that, you know, an Ohtani type or, you know, the other few rare people that have been able to do one or the other, at least for a while, that is just so far, so improbable. That's your answer is, you know, it's not like... you know, just because you were a pitcher and one of the best hitters on your little league team doesn't mean that's going to translate to college level, major league level, et cetera. It's not necessarily going to do that.
Well, looking back, you know, we're talking about hundreds, if not thousands, of people. Looking back in my views of baseball, I would say that if there would have been a DH early on, I could probably name, I would say I would have said, Fergie would have DH'd some games. He was that good. Rick Rushel probably would have as well. He still has the records as Western Illinois, doesn't he, as a batter? I think Zambrano certainly would have. You know, maybe not every day, but certainly could have, right? And Bob Gibson, I think, could have. You know, who actually is supposed to be the best hitting pitcher that never. Warren Spahn was supposed to be real good too. Brett's brother, I'm sure, could have DH'd. Ken Brett,
yeah. I mean, I think with some focus, there are guys in the major leagues who could do it or could have done it. It's just that's pretty darn rare.
Yeah, I'm saying, but some guys just are the best at everything and just decide to become a pitcher. I mean, it's, you know, there have been dudes like that, right? I mean, and then when you don't hit for a season, I mean, how long if you don't hit do you lose your ability to it? It can't be very long, right?
I'm certainly the skills are going to atrophy.
But I'll bet if there would have been people that could have DH'd on certain days. That I think Zambrano was certainly a better hitter than the last guy on the bench, wouldn't you say?
On the Cubs,
yeah,
for sure.
On the Cubs, for sure. But Rick Rushel, I think, was he used to pinch hit. Fergie used to pinch hit. Bob Gibson was a real good hitter, right? Some guys were.
Also a really good basketball player.
Yeah. Well, he played for the Globetrotters, didn't he?
Yep.
Yeah, Kevin, you know, and get back to the... I'm sure there is some perception, at least in the Hispanic community, that this stuff is a little haphazard and a little over the top. I mean, there's a lot of people, I think, that have left. Bill Moriarty said that he talked to some contractors down in Texas where he is, and a lot of their workforce is gone because they were just temporary workers or whatever reason, but they're very skilled people. I mean, when you start building water treatment plants and stuff, and I you know what, I've dug into more of this, Kevin. There's people here I know, and I'm sure it's all not going to give names, I've known for 25 years that don't have a green card. And what is the issue with this? You know, why is it so difficult for somebody? There's people that have been in the Army and been discharged that aren't citizens. Why is that? Is it just sloppiness, or people don't do it on their own, or is it?
Some people don't pursue it or don't complete it, but that's not the bigger issue. I think the bigger issue is that the politicians who say that they want to solve this don't. They'd rather have the issue than the solution. And you know, for example, when Barack Obama was elected, he said one of the things he was going to do was get a comprehensive immigration bill done. He had 2 years when he had a veto-proof or a filibuster-proof majority in the Senate, and he had the House. Didn't do a damn thing.
Yeah, what did Bush do when he had the veto-proof thing, too? I don't think he did any. Well, he had 9/11 to worry about, obviously.
He actually did propose something, and it got very roundly voted against.
Yeah, I mean, it is stunning when you hear somebody that you can't imagine them not being a... I know some Hispanic people, their wives aren't citizens. I'm like, why not? I mean, is it that onerous? Is it like three clerks and 50 people trying to see him, or is it they're just not staffed enough, or people don't care? I don't know. I'm fishing for the answer.
The smoothest process, which was my daughter becoming a citizen, was still cumbersome.
Really? I don't know. I mean, what, she was a baby, right?
What's that?
She was a
baby.
She was a baby.
She was adopted, so she had the the legal right, and yet, yet it wasn't. It just was a pain in the butt to do. And that was the easiest. Now it, wasn't, an undue burden. I didn't have a. There were no showstoppers involved in it, but it just, they don't make it easy.
But I guess it's sort of stunning to me that somebody has a Social Security, they're paying into it, they're paying income taxes, they're in the goddamn Army, for God's sake, and how could somebody like that, if somebody turned on them and you got to get out of here, right? I know that they're not, at least.
But they're in the Army, but they're here legally.
Okay, but I'm saying, how do you be of an honorable discharge and not be a citizen?
Hire illegal immigrants either.
What?
Because the Army isn't allowed to hire illegal immigrants either.
How is anybody who's not a citizen that illegal on some level, or don't have a green card?
Well, green card's a different issue than.
All right, so I think there's a lot of people that aren't, that would you say illegally? I mean, hell, my grandfather was here illegally for God knows how many years, and somehow he became a citizen. I don't know how he did, but he didn't come through Ellis Island. He came here as a visitor and ditched his uncle. I mean, when somebody gets a job and they get a family and everything, you really want to kick them out? I mean, I don't know what the...
No, but nobody's targeting them now, so...
Well, I mean, I think some of the issue in some of these communities is some of the people they're booting aren't necessarily... I think the guy that got kicked out of right in front of his son at the school, I don't think they got any kind of a record, from what I understand. I don't know, maybe he did, but... I mean, he certainly wasn't wanted by the police here.
Yeah, I don't know that particular case.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know. I'm just saying there's a perception that it's kind of heavy-handed, Kevin. I don't know whether they're right or wrong on it, but...
I think it's falling among Hispanics legally in the country.
Well, I mean,
how do you think it's polling?
I don't know.
They want the criminals out.
Oh, no, who says that?
Huh? Oh, there have been several polls that do that, you know, like Gallup, you know, those kinds of polls.
Yes, they don't
want the gangs in their neighborhoods any more than anyone else would.
I think it's how you ask the question, but like most polls. But anyway, how do they manage to vote? We're talking about certain subjects. I thought it was an absolute given that they were going to ban the tush push in football, and then it turns out that they can still do it. Do they have to wait for somebody who gets his neck broken at the bottom of that pile, or what?
Yeah, because we all know that the ownership group is about player safety.
Yeah,
that was a totally illegal play for a long time. And really, the emphasis for change started in college after the famous Reggie Bush pushing Matt Leinart into the end zone against Notre Dame.
Yeah,
and they decided they couldn't call it effectively, so they just made it legal, and then the pros followed suit.
That's what do you make of the Cubs getting tossed out all these games when all the guy said is you're having a bad day? What's that all about?
No, but he was having a bad day. You know, that my opinion was that was 2 days in a row, and I think you can look at it and say, you know, was he bad for both teams? Yeah, but really, every time you do that, every time you call something that's, you know, like four baseballs outside the zone. And you do that, you're changing an at bat. And when you do it often as the game wears on, to me, that's just crapping all over the game. And I am fine. I would love to go to automated umpires right now. You know, I would be good with that.
Yeah, I would.
I don't need a human element when we have the technology to do it quickly, and so on. I don't want appeals for you know, where you tap your helmet and they show it up on the board and appeal the call. I don't want appeals. I don't want to stop the game for that. If you're tracking it, if you have the computers, you're tracking it, and it's on the video board and it's available, just do it, and you know, you can put the strikes and balls up on the
I don't have a problem with the human. Maybe everybody hasn't pitched softball for 40 years like I have, but when you look at the umpiring, Kevin, way back in the day, you had American League umpires, and this is going back to, I don't know how old you got to be to remember this, American League umpires used to use the outside chest protector. It was kind of a big thing, looked like a heart, that the guy'd stick his neck in, and it was essentially a blown-up pad, or whatever you want to call it. And the guy, if you look at the old baseball movies, there's always, you see the catcher's head, you see the umpire's head right above the catcher's head, he was able to see. The American League was renowned for calling the high strike, not the low strike, and the National League was not. Okay, because the umpire's face, he's up high, he could see whether it was outside or inside. His bad spot in the vision was the low ball, because he couldn't see down there. And softball, it's nowhere near as prevalent, but it's the same thing. You watch Major League Baseball, and there's a few umpires that are really, really good at it. But whatever side, now that nobody wears the outside chest protector, so in order to be protected from getting hit by the ball, you want to be protected by the catcher. So they all get down in kind of a squat on one side or another of the catcher's head. And whichever side they get on, say they get on the inside part of the catcher's head, as a pitcher, you want to work the outside corner, because that's where they can't see very well, and that's where your bad balls. If you got an umpire that screws up the inside pitch, because that's where his face is, then he's really bad. But the outside is usually where, and that's why the pitchers that are very controlled, the guys like the East Bend, Atlanta, and places like that, if you work that outside corner, and if it's the opposite side of where the umpire is, and if you're right there all the time, usually you can get off an inch or so as the game wears on, because you're right there. But it has to do with field of vision, and that's the side you need to work. And most of the balls that are not called properly are on the side where the umpire isn't. But usually it's not too egregious. But don't think this is not There was one game, Kevin, a couple years ago where Jim DeShays was talking about both of these pitchers. They like to work the corners. I'm going to say, Kevin, 85% of the balls both guys threw were right on the edge, where part of the ball was on the, you know, the box, in the box, outside the box. But most of the time, the ball was splitting the line of the box. I mean, don't for a second think that this is an easy job. I mean,
I don't think it's an easy job. I think it's a job where we have the technology to do it, to get it right nearly 100% of the time, and have so far not been willing to use it, although they're experimenting with a lot of different things in the minor leagues.
Well, if you're a younger guy and you found that there's a robot that could take care of the female, would you want to retire that job?
I would certainly get myself a robot costume.
There you go. What would that costume look like? You'd be like the guy in Lost in Space?
So Ralph Cramden has the model.
God. What are you making a CPI number today? It's coming out. We'll be talking about it in a half hour nonstop.
I'm looking forward to just seeing what it is and seeing where we go with it. I don't know.
What's your perception of where stuff is going? Because I dropped in to Tripoli last night. I was talking to Nick, the owner. Because yesterday I was hearing on the radio someplace that in Boston they held some kind of a meeting of the Restaurant Association just to try and identify what people are going to do about costs and how people can't afford to go to restaurants. And, it has to do with, you know, the taxes, the utility bill. I mean, utility bills are rampant. Taxes are rampant. I mean, I don't... What do you think would happen to the CPI if we actually put property taxes in there, Kevin? I mean, for God's sake. I mean, you can say you love people in office or whatever, or you can like one party over another, or think maybe we need a third party like some of us. Whatever it is, Kevin, the thing that has been relentless in my whole lifetime in business world has been inflation is the best thing in the world for government. And they say they want to stop it, and they never do. And it got too far out of hand in the 70s, or they had to bring it back down. But now I think the last several administrations have decided that if you have this constant inflation of 4 and 5%, and somehow you basically bleep with the CPI to where it comes out at 2%, and somehow keep the since you don't have concentration in the banking industry, so you don't pay people risk-free rate that covers the inflation, you can basically denut most of the population. Some people make all the money, and by the way, the government benefits like there's no tomorrow. And then, anybody doesn't think that the government doesn't like the fact that they now get, you know, $6,000 or $7,000 or $8,000 every time somebody buys a car when they used to get four. I think they think that's pretty cool, don't you?
It's good work when you can get it.
Yeah, it's I wonder when there's going to be some kind of a, and when I say revolt, I'm not talking about demonstrators, because I think Kevin and I both agree that if you're not, you don't have a specific point to what you're doing, and you don't have some kind of leadership and can't articulate it, all you're doing is wrecking stuff. Is that a fair assessment, Kevin?
I would say that's true.
Yeah, and
all you're doing is throwing a temper tantrum.
Yeah, and it gets to the point where people don't even know why you're doing it. They can't even have any sympathy. I mean, earlier, it may have sounded like I have sympathy for these people in L.A. I really don't, Kevin, because I don't know what the hell they're doing. I think it has something to do with they think that the immigration people are being overly whatever, but I think if that's the case, they should have a leader and say, here's 15 people that got grabbed that shouldn't have, or something. There doesn't seem to be anything they can grab onto, like you say. I think they're like the Occupy Wall Street movement. But anyway, having said that... I would like to see some of this stop on the economic part, because I think a lot of what happens socially is because of economics, and a lot of what we're seeing now, a lot of the hatred between classes and between parties has to do with every single year seeming like a high percent of the population is worse off than the year before, Kevin. And I think you need to fix that, and if you do, maybe we can shake hands again. I don't know. What do you think?
Well, I think it's more complicated than that. I think you have, different political agendas at play. Some of them are very socialist and very, and benefit a lot from chaos. And, you know, whether that's coming from other countries or whether that's coming from just from the American left or a combination of the above, I don't know. But I think all of this is more orchestrated than we're given.
But Kevin, why? Let's take a minute, and then Russell can pile in if he wants. Let's take a minute. When people say that, when they say something is more socialist, more communist, whatever term you want to use, most of the people, and you're not included, when they use the term, they don't even know what the hell it means. They just use it because somebody else used it. If the economic system...
Well, we could call it statist, and I think we'd all be happy with it.
Yeah, but if the economic system, which we currently have, which let's put it this way, that we've morphed into, if that system is not working for you and the people around you, or at least perceive it doesn't, or it's working less and less every year, why would you not expect people to at least explore a different way? I mean, people did it during the Depression here. People have this view that somehow, no matter how bad it got, the Americans just knuckled under, knew we had the right system, knew we weren't Russia, knew we weren't, you know, Germany. We knew we had the right system. We just plucked through it, put our nose to the grindstone, and worked our way out of it. That's the biggest crack of shit that anybody's ever come up with. There's all kinds of people here who were saying that whatever we're doing ain't working. And right now, people that say our system is capitalistic, they're right in five industries. Anybody who thinks that what is going on now is a competitive capitalism is out of their friggin' mind. Because it isn't. It's some kind of crony capitalism where if you don't have your nose up the ass of government, you never get big. This is not anywhere near the economic competition that you and Russell teach. I can't even put a name on it, except kind of crony capitalism. So a lot of people sit there and go, okay, it looks to me like if I just get a job and do whatever I'm supposed to do and marry, I can't afford a hospital bill. We better find a way for, you know, somebody else to pay for it or something. I don't like their conclusions, but I understand why they're searching for another way. I mean, how can a lunch cost more than 2 hours of the average wage, for God's sake? I mean, what is a week's stay in a hospital? Is that more than a year's pay?
Oh my gosh.
It's more than a year's pay. How did we get there? I mean, this is not anywhere near the capitalism, the economic freedom that you and I maybe once saw or teach. Is it, Russell? What is
it? Well, and you know, the thing.
I thought, and then I'm going to turn it over to Russell because I don't know.
Okay.
So my thought on this is, yeah, if you want to, you know, if you don't want your own philosophy, approach, whatever it is you espouse, such as capitalism, if you don't want it to be subject to these kinds of attacks, then you damn well better be pretty pure about it. And we're not.
Right.
And so you create a vulnerability there, and there certainly are people that want to exploit that vulnerability.
Yeah. Well, thanks, Kevin.
It's real world stuff. You remember back school when Rodney Dangerfield sitting in the econ class and the dude's talking about creating widgets, and then he said, well, you know, if you go into waste management, you got to bribe these guys, and you got to make sure the unions are on your side. And he like goes through all the real world stuff that they're not talking about in the classroom. And I think some of it's that type of stuff that you come out of, you know, maybe when you're younger, although I doubt anybody believes in capitalism that's like, you know, in their early 20s in this day and age, just because everything they've been fed. But if you do believe it, you probably start to get a bit discouraged when, you know, you've got the local alderman that you've got to grease the palm of for something that you want to open up or put a sign out or some crap like that. So I can see that. I mean, I can see where you get disillusioned. I feel like if you really went through a non-emotional cycle of being disillusioned and not a cycle where when you're disillusioned, you're throwing bricks and just screaming crap, I feel like maybe you could go out and look at the other potential approaches and realize ours is not all that great, but there's really nothing better. There's nothing but, and I got into a really nasty debate with somebody that worked at a central bank in Sweden, And because they were talking about how everybody had gotten in line with some of the proposals that they had around restructuring the economy after, or restructuring things after the great financial crisis. And I just said, well, I feel like that's a bit easier in a smaller and a bit more homogeneous society. And oh my God, should I have not said that? We have diversity in Sweden. No, you don't.
Yeah, some guys are you named know, some guys are named Sven, and some guys are earned.
Yeah, and there's, well, I don't know how many there are, but there are a lot fewer people in Sweden than there are in the United States. It's just a lot easier to manage, and I do think that's part of the issue with some of the things that are going on here, is when we deferred to states on a lot of things, and you know, if Alabama decides they want to. And I'm going to on a different topic, but I think it's relevant. You know, Alabama wants to ban abortion. You know, 50 busloads of people go down to Alabama from New York to protest that. There's no reason for that. You know, states can do. I mean, states should have a bit of you know. They're supposed to have some flexibility on things that they want to do. You know, maybe I shouldn't have used abortion. Maybe I could, you know, once if you and I move down to Florida, we're not going to be paying any state income taxes anymore. You know, and that might be a choice that we want to make. And having states that are purely independent, that some of them are slightly different. I mean, I specifically made an economic decision when I finished college to move to Chicago, because I wanted to be involved in the financial markets and I couldn't afford to move to New York. That was 100. Yeah. So it was a slog. It was like 2 years of saving up cash so I have 3 months worth of living expenses covered, and then move to Chicago without a job. And if I can do it, anybody can do things like that. And the point was that we got a big old country, and you know, there are different opportunities in different parts of it. I got a godson that grew up in Memphis. He lives in California now because he wanted to be involved in the space industry. Yeah. You know, so you've got all of these different types of opportunities. I don't think we're that bad of a country. I really don't. It really pains me when I have students from outside of the United States, and they say the worst things about our country. They're over here, they're studying, but they just have a very nasty attitude about us, which makes it very difficult for me to just suck it up, nod my head.
Well, you have a president that insults the hell out of everybody worldwide.
You know what? I'm talking about students when Biden was president.
Yeah, well,
I'm talking about Biden. I'm not talking about Trump. Because in fact, I haven't heard it. I guess you're probably afraid to say anything about Trump. But, you know, all of that, you know, all of them camping out, tearing up stuff on campuses, et cetera, that mostly happened under Biden.
Well, a lot of it did.
Don't tell me it's because Trump called their place.
No, it did. A lot of it had to do with this Palestinian war. I mean it's been
This was before that.
All right. Well, students always.
Okay, I'm actually talking about when I led study abroad to the UK. About half the students were from outside the United States, and all they did was just rip on the U.S. the whole time.
For what reason? Just in general.
How we you know, colonize and mistreat the rest of the world. We impose our will on the rest of the world. Most of these people were from South America.
I had a
and that was kind of a little surprising to me as well, but the only time that I spoke up was we were at the British Museum, and you know, there were some things that had been brought to the British Museum from Egypt, and a handful of students started griping about all the stuff being stolen from Egypt, and I just said you know, I understand what you're saying, but just hear me out on this one. Do you guys know what the Taliban did when they took over in Afghanistan? They blew up every Buddha in the country.
Yeah, oh yeah.
You know, I said, if Britain had, as you said, stolen one and had one here, at least we'd still have one. Said, so when you talk about countries that are not particularly stable, it's probably best off to preserve some of it here in this museum in the UK as opposed to hoping nobody tears it up in, you know, when you get a regime change in your other country.
Well, it
I mean, just about every antiquity out of Iraq, I think, got either pilfered or destroyed during the Gulf War.
Well, didn't they bust up a bunch of the stuff in Syria too, right?
I think so. Well, yeah. a lot of locals will try to get in there and you know, either altruistically try to protect some of their stuff or just go grab it.
Well, I mean, yeah. But
back to the. You know, what it comes down to is these people that are you know, going out in the streets and they say they're protesting. They're not protesting. They're, you know, breaking shit. And yeah, and Kevin said in passing, he goes, I want to know who's organizing this. You know, they overnight, a couple of nights ago, there were pallets of bricks that were dropped off in L.A., just dropped off in the middle of the street.
Maybe they were bought at Home Depot.
Who's doing that?
Maybe somebody bought them at Home Depot.
Yeah. Same thing was happening back in 2022. So
nobody likes protesting, and especially now when you can't, you know, a red light's an imposition. Can you imagine having to go around the block because somebody was actually protesting something? You're going to hate these people instantly. I mean, we're in a absolutely me first generation, unfortunately.
And you know what? They block you in. There's not a go an extra block around. They block you in.
Well,
and then they yell at you for. You should watch some videos of you know, people just trying to get to work in Los Angeles and the protesters saying, "Well, you just don't understand how
I'm not
missing work for a day is so minuscule compared to what we're standing up for right now."
Okay,
I watched a video of that this morning.
All right, so if somebody thinks that there's a tremendous abuse going on in this country, which of course we could probably name 10 of them, and 50 of our smartest people, we'll throw a few professors in there and make them even smarter, we all write a letter to our congressman. I might as well try and pee in Lake Michigan and raise the level of the water.
There's just nothing you can do.
At some point, I mean, look what's going on in Chicago. Look what's going on anywhere. People are feeling increasingly powerless, and there are places I think in this country that are governed very well, and there's a lot where they aren't. But when you look around at the, and I go back to, I don't know why I'm more, even though you're the economics professor, you and Hal, and I'm not. The economics that I learned. A lot of the problems in the world stem from them. I mean, my brother Dan, you know Dan. I mean, he did a thing, and he wouldn't come in here, but he did a study. Was it 5, 6, 10 years ago, Russell? Where there's a United Nations, essentially worldwide CPI, for lack of a better term, price level, and that the mean person in the world makes like $5 a day.
Yeah,
and there's a thing that the United Nations puts out, and there's a column in there, and it's not called grains; it's called something else, but it essentially is grains. Something I don't know what the name of the stuff is—sorghum or whatever—but it encompasses all grains. When that goes over the $5, you have problems because all of a sudden people can't afford to eat on a daily basis. And when that was over $5 for a period of time, you know, if I could get Dan on here, he still knows it verbatim. That's when you had the Arab Spring. That's when you had essentially revolt everywhere. And I think in this country what's happened is, and again, I'm old enough to remember the after World War II generation. If the place is legitimately growing at 3% a year for pretty much everybody, unless, you know, if you go to work, somebody grows by 4 or 5 and somebody else grows by 1 or 2. As long as the person who grows by 2 can look at the person that is growing at 4 and say, well, hell, that guy went to night school, I didn't. He works on Saturday, I didn't. If there's some measure of rationality to who's doing better than the next guy, people are okay with it if everybody's growing. I think that we have not grown in really like a 20-year period. Where everybody has the feeling now that if anybody does do well, they're doing it to the detraction of somebody else. The reason why that guy's up 10% this year is because he found a way to screw everybody else, and everybody else has dropped. Everybody else he knows has dropped a percent. I think there's a serious view of that. The reason when you have people that can borrow money, say, for less than the inflation rate, that Hal's always talking about. You're going to see the Cubs go from $20 million in 1983 to $6 billion right now.
Mm-hmm.
And yet other people, when they go to borrow money, they're borrowing at 25%. How are they doing? There are things that have happened in the last 40 years in this country that you couldn't even imagine when I was in school. The disparities between, you know, what somebody pays for capital, what somebody else pays for capital. It's incredible the differences in how people have gotten so friggin' big. I mean, you're talking about people that are throwing around billions of dollars where somebody else is cutting a coupon for 10 cents in the Myers. I mean, mm-hmm. this is what we have seen happen, and the stratification and people's, Shanny, hopefully I'll get him back on the show, was talking, he lives in Glen Allen. He says his taxes in the last, 8 years have gone from $8,500 to $13,500.
Yeah.
You know,
mine just ticked over 30.
Yeah, I mean, he goes, but I mean, we're talking, and you have, what is going on? And you hear stories from, some of these school districts where people are making these incredible pensions, and so there is nobody now. If somebody were to, we could write a letter somewhere. I don't think you and I are the type that are going to find a sandwich sign up and down the street and stop cars mm-hmm. and traffic. But what is the story? There needs to be some kind of protest. What is it? You don't get to vote for anybody who's different. It seems something's wrong here, where you see people that seem to have connections of some kind doing way better than everybody else, and I don't know. I mean, everybody else getting laid off. The amount of layoffs are dramatic. You see in the numbers last Friday of how people with college age, there's less people working than a month before, even though the announcement, the household survey had 600,000 people less working than a month before.
Yeah, there are people dropping out.
Well, I mean, there's layoffs all over the place. I mean, anybody who thinks it's the system now is not working. I mean, at Pullman, if you work maybe a little overtime, you could make $20,000-$22,000 on as a welder or something.
Mm-hmm.
The chairman made $250, so he made roughly 10 times the average worker. Now, if Pullman was around, I'm going to say the welder's making $35,000. And the chairman's making $5 million. You don't think people recognize that and see there's something wrong here? Now we should go communist? No. Should we go socialist? No. But I mean, whatever's going on here, we never met a merger we didn't like, right? I mean,
that's not necessarily true.
Well,
there have been mergers that have been shot down. But,
yeah, most of them by Europe.
But
Europe,
yeah.
Right?
Yeah, but they.
But you look at, did we send you, if Lou sends it back to me, I'll send it to you. In the last 25 years, the amount of mergers in the defense industry,
we went from like a dozen to like three.
No, we went from like 40 to about 7 or 8. Because, I mean, there used to be like 40 of them. Companies that they'd rattle your brain and you go, I remember those guys. I mean,
yeah, and they've all consolidated into, and just about every industry has been like that. I mean, Google owns over 100 competitors.
Yeah,
a lot of people don't realize that. Well, I don't know if it's over 100, but that's why they call themselves Alphabet, because they've got different companies starting with every letter in the alphabet under their umbrella now.
Well, even recently,
the big keep getting bigger. I just, just to kind of take it down a notch with all of this, how many people in the U.S. do you think, are living day to day and are somewhat satisfied with it? Do you think there's like Reagan? Well, see, I am, but I'm, probably an unusual spot. My sister kind of is, and she's more of a blue collar type person. She's getting by and seems to be doing well when I saw her a couple of weeks ago. I really think that's what it comes down to for everyone. It's like the person that was arguing about trying to get to work and the protesters weren't letting this person go by in Los Angeles yesterday, and all this person wanted to do was live their life, And I feel like the protesters shoot themselves in the foot because they just cause annoyance for everybody.
Well, that's what they said about Martin Luther.
They probably can't even name a person. Most of them probably can't even name a person that got, as they put it, kidnapped by ICE.
I don't know. I mean,
I want to know what, and this is what I. Really
I know it's a hell of a lot of effort, and it's a hell of a lot of effort on their part. Here's
what I want to know is back when Clinton was president, and I was in college. I worked at a restaurant, and they passed laws that they had to have all the citizenship paperwork on all of the employees, and they would show up about once a year and check everybody's paperwork. I would, I'd have to fill out the I-9 and all that kind of stuff, but they had people that would come and check this restaurant. It was an independent restaurant. It wasn't a McDonald's. It was like a sole location bar and grill in Memphis that was owned by the same guy forever. So it probably was the kind of business that you want to check up on. But they would come in and they would check. We would be there and like mid-afternoon between the lunch and the dinner rush. Somebody from immigration would show up and check all of our paperwork.
The old joke is you could run in the kitchen and yell immigration and you could shut the place down as everybody leaves.
No. Yeah. Well, see, but now it's not like that. And I know for a fact about 20 years ago that I had a couple of friends from college that owned a Chinese restaurant, and every single person that worked in the kitchen was illegal and from China. They had a whole system where people would rotate in and out of the United States, and they would go and pick them up in Atlanta. It was just this really odd thing where they would move them all around, but they didn't have all that stuff. And I asked about it, and they said, "Oh, they don't do that anymore. It's still a law. They just don't check it anymore."
But most of your, I don't know. I mean, I know a lot of people in the restaurant industry, and they pretty much are on the straight and narrow. They don't have to check and see if you're a citizen. You have to have a Social Security card and that kind of thing. I mean, you have to place a.
It's an I-9 for citizenship, and they basically take two pieces of ID and run it and make sure that you're legal to work in the U.S.
Well, legal to work in the U.S. is not the same as being
and
a citizen.
And legal to work in the U.S. I know that doesn't necessarily mean citizenship, but it means that you're allowed to be working where you're being able to work.
Right, and the places who were famously, I'll say, didn't take care of those laws were restaurants and country clubs.
Yeah,
I mean, country
and
clubs.
They should have gotten caught on it.
So what if? What if a guy named Russell, who a guy like you is probably in some big country club, if you'd have walked into virtually any place here in Chicago, and I will bet you the one that was the worst, I could lose this bet, was the Doral. And I'm sure the first thing that Trump did when he came in there is made sure everybody was legal, right? Because I played down there, and it didn't look like anybody was a citizen raking traps and cutting grains. But They used to have actually houses by the Caddyshack where guys would live there for the summer.
Yeah.
I worked at
one of the yacht clubs downtown, and they had the exact same thing. Yeah. Guys that would come in from Mexico
cash.
Just for the summer. They'd show up just before Memorial Day, and they'd leave just after Labor Day, and they'd go live like a king for 8 months.
I actually read once, Russell, how many people. He had the Social Security number of all zeros.
I didn't know you were allowed to do that.
Or all ones or whatever. You think the government's not part of this.
Mm-hmm.
When people get the Social Security number that maybe they weren't supposed to have, right? And you sit there and go, okay, let's shoot the guy, right? He's illegal. But all right, but what's really happening? Happening is you give the guy a paycheck. You're sending money to the Social Security Department, right? Mm-hmm. For somebody who doesn't exist. Now, you can make the guy a criminal. He also could pick up the phone and say, hey, Russell's Hot Dogs, you're sending us this check. Who is this guy? They just take the dough. And at the end of the day, the guy has no benefits. So who's making out on the deal?
Mm-hmm. I mean, the owner.
No. The check he sends to Washington, and they know there's nobody associated with that number, and they just keep the dough. They don't send it back.
I thought we were talking about the... never mind.
Well, if the owner doesn't pay any Social Security, that's a whole different story. But for a while now, people have had to... I mean, I go back. I mean, hell, I've been down by the exchanges here. And I can tell you the restaurants. We know the restaurants I'm talking about, right? And about about 15, 20 years ago, like you said, all of a sudden nobody will hire anybody that they can't at least has a social security number. And, you know, it's that kind of thing where you can actually put them on the payroll and all that stuff. I don't think they're paying cash out the back door anymore, right? I don't think they are. Well, I mean,
no, maybe a little. I know of a situation.
I would say this that if you want to do a deep cleaning on the place, you know, I don't know, on like a Saturday or a Sunday, and say, do you got anybody that can help you? And the guy says, I got three guys, but you got to pay them cash. I wouldn't be a bit surprised if that isn't going on.
I can recall doing bringing somebody in from the Home Depot parking lot to wash dishes before.
Yeah, and
at a place that was shorthanded, they just ran over there and did that.
Yeah, I mean
I have seen that happen, but again, that was about 30 years ago.
When I
was working those fun jobs,
I think when I
have to go back to delivering pizza again to get by, I'll let you know.
Well, let me ask you this: when the number must have just come out and the market's running up, so it's got to be a good number. 0.1 versus 0.2, so are you
in line?
Let me dig it up here. Why don't we go to break? When we come back, we'll go through it line by line. Well, not line by line, but we'll dig through some of it. S&P futures up 23, NASDAQ futures up 116. Why would you ever put out a bad number when everybody wants a good number? Because market goes up. We'll be right back.
Exactly. You get fired.
Yeah.
How much confidence do you have that your investments will make you wealthy? Do you truly know the odds? Welcome to Luckbox, the control freak's guide to life, money, and probability.
See,
Luckbox shows you how
to
factor in the likelihood of success before you commit to an investment or any other life decision. Your brain is smarter than your gut, and that's why you owe it to yourself to read Luckbox. We've made it easy because Luckbox is free for 1 year at luckboxmagazine.com/jocks. Each new issue dives deep into the current investing climate, separates the signal from the noise with timely, actionable trading ideas, and equips you with savvy investing tactics you don't already know, all while exploring how to live your best life through music, spirits, food, sports, travel, fitness, and a whole lot more. Luckbox is the essential magazine for proactive investors who are hell-bent on controlling their financial futures. It's for overachievers and alpha types who don't buy into Wall Street's investment gurus. It's for mavericks who believe in life, luxury, and the pursuit of happiness. It's for you. Smart investors don't bet on possibilities, they play the probabilities. Luckbox is $7.99 on newsstands, but you can subscribe for 10 free digital issues at luckboxmagazine.com/jocks. Don't rely on luck. Get Luckbox at luckboxmagazine.com/jock.
Stocks, jocks.
Stocks and jocks.
Stocks and jocks.
You are out of control.
Right here. Right now. Right here. Right now. Right now.
Hello and welcome back to Stocks and Jacks. I'm Tom Allen, Jim Lawler on the board. S&P futures up 19, NASDAQ futures up 86. This is after the CPI came out at 0.1. Of course, unadjusted was 0.2, but we had adjusted down to 0.1, so it looks so good. Let's see, we got the Asian markets, which we know what those guys are doing. We're going to go through this table here in a second with Russell. Asian markets we have, these guys are closed. So Nikkei was up 209.6%. Hang Seng up 204.8%. Shanghai up 17.5%. The European markets, those guys were almost flat earlier. We'll see if they pop up on this. Europe stocks choppy as Trump comments on China trade talks, which I guess from all accounts went pretty good. Jimmy, why don't you do traffic, weather, sports, and we'll come back and do this when these numbers get a little more settled.
Okay, well, it's 7:33 here in Chicago. It's 70 degrees with a high of 90. We still have hazy sun because of the wildfires in Canada. Tonight, possible storms tonight, and a low of 64. In Phoenix, it is 82 and a high of 109. Danger of heat stroke outside at 109. I can believe that. Low tonight will be 80 degrees. Inbound Kennedy is from Montrose is 21 minutes. Inbound Edens from Lake Cook 16. The inbound Eisenhower from Wolf 39. The inbound Dan Ryan from 95th 20. And the inbound Stevenson from 294 is 35. Again, the Panthers won 6-1 and now are hold a 2-1 lead in the Stanley Cup Finals. Game 4 is tomorrow. And the NBA, the Pacers and the Thunder square off. They are at 1-1. It was a good day for Chicago sports. The Cubs beat the Phillies. The Sox beat Houston. And the Diamondbacks beat the Mariners. Going back to you, Chief.
We have we're settling in here. The S&P's up 20 and the NASDAQ up 97. So it always kind of, Russell, when you look at these numbers, the one thing that always mystifies me is how you can have an adjusted number, which you're supposed to just be gathering stuff up and letting you know what it is. But we have the year over year is 2.4, which is what everybody came in at. The month to month unadjusted was 0.2. Adjusted was 0.1. So we're kind of bumping along here. The part that I am a little bit, I happened to spot was new cars they have going down. Do you see that? How is that happening, Russell? With the
I assume that's because hiring cars aren't being sold, maybe.
It could be. I wonder how they even.
Yeah, I mean, I'm not believing any of these numbers.
No, I'm not either.
Because
Jimmy, you gotta push Russell's volume up a hair.
I know that they have cut back the people that are involved in the collection and everything else, so I think there's a lot more volatility and a lot more uncertainty about the original numbers that we get. And what we're going to need to do is start paying attention to the revisions, which they're able to spend some more time on. But I have no confidence in any numbers coming out of the government just because they've scaled back so many people that work for the government. My daughter got an apartment really cheap because the person that was living there before her worked for the Bureau of Labor Statistics in got laid off, and their whole job was collecting numbers for these things.
Why do you want to pay somebody?
They're doing things shorthanded, so you can't tell me things aren't going to fall through the cracks.
Why not just make them up?
Well, that's what they probably are having to do for some things, or it's more of a guesstimate than it normally is.
Well,
if we don't believe the CPI, what should we believe? That's what that, and I keep trying to figure out what would be a better measure of inflation than CPI. What would be a more realistic one? Basket of groceries and how much gas costs?
No, because I think a lot of the issues now are service related.
Yeah,
and a lot of it has to do with somewhat
and
of
I,
a
like I'd like to see a discretionary and a non-discretionary CPI, like, you know, the have to haves for, you know, you just mentioned new cars. Not everybody in the world is gonna, you know, is gonna buy a new car. You know, my sister, when she recently totaled a car, you know, she bought one that was lightly used with 20 or 30,000 miles in it. That's what she will continuously do. So I wouldn't be the least bit surprised if there's less demand for new cars and much more demand for used cars. In fact, the dealership called and asked if I'd be willing to sell my car recently, because there's so much demand for used versions of what I have.
And if you foolishly said yes,
I didn't.
I'm not saying, you know, a guy like you can go in and buy a new one. But if you foolishly said yes,
yeah,
try and find it in your shape for your price anywhere in this country. Good luck.
Yeah. Yeah.
I mean, when you are
you are a
serious professor,
yeah,
and even if you weren't, you're a pretty bright guy. When you don't have a whole lot of new cars and the normal amount being sold, what do you think happens to the used car markets 2 years later?
There's no used cars.
Yeah.
Yeah. We may be going through a funny rotation because that we went through this during COVID because of supply chain issues, where and that was the last time we got calls asking if we wanted to sell our car.
We should have done a lot of stuff, probably put our money in the market, but which, you know, I do to some extent. But the thing we should have done the minute all this crap started if we knew that Trump was going to get back in and all these tariffs, we would have made a fortune on buying a auto repair facility about 5 years ago. You can't get in one.
No, you can't. You gotta make appointments.
Yeah, and it's you almost.
My windshield got cracked coming back from Indiana about 3 weeks ago, and it took a week and a half to get it fixed.
Well, you see, now you could have called me.
And it was expanding.
Well, of course,
it was expanding, and I wasn't driving the car.
Do you ever been in one where you had a little bit of a crack and it all of a sudden spread the whole windshield and makes an incredibly weird noise?
It didn't reach that point, thank goodness, because it was during a thunderstorm that I caught a rock, and that may have got, well, whatever. But yeah, yes, I do know that it takes a while to get into a place to get something fixed.
I actually know some guys who would have taken care of you, but you didn't call me. You know,
we can talk about that offline.
Well, you know, I got guys I played softball with.
I understand. We all got guys.
We got real guys. We got guys, right? You know, the suburban.
Yeah, we all got guys. Actually, my wife is the got a guy person for the whole neighborhood.
Oh, probably. When I had the suburban, it was a Secret Service, and it wasn't. Ooh. It wasn't a real tricked out thing, but it was. I was coming back from Detroit, and this truck in front, you know, rock flew off the top of the damn thing.
Yeah.
It whacked into the windshield to the point where I felt. The windshield actually bend in a little bit. It was that big of a rock. It didn't crack. I wonder if it had a special windshield in it.
I thought
the rock was going to come through the windshield and bonk me on the head. But the whole windshield, I thought it was pretty much a goner. Mm-hmm. And yeah, it didn't even make a crack.
So I'm looking at the Bloomberg has their people go through the CPI and comment on some of the things that look funny. Smartphone prices were down.
Yep.
Which, you know, you would think with all the tariff stuff, that would have been an issue. And then I knew that airline fares had come down a bit. I think that's coming down in price with energy prices as well. Apparel prices, you would think if we're tariffing where we get all our shirts from, that would have been a problem. But apparently it's not. I wonder, here's just a little a very high-level theory on some of this. You know, before the tariffs were going to be implemented, we got a lot of extra goods shipped over here from China to get in under the tariffs. And I wonder if some of this is just a pure supply demand thing.
When you were,
you know what I mean? There are just more shirts at the Walmart right now.
The week, might have been the week you were off. We talked about, my sister-in-law, is a guy who has a podcast, and she gave me the name, and I'm going to attempt to invite the guy on. He used to be a merchant marine guy or something, and he's retired. And what he does is he charts. He does a podcast for imports and exports, ships on the high seas, basically.
Mm-hmm.
And 3-4 weeks ago, he came out and he said, "There's never been as much stuff offloaded in Long Beach than is being offloaded right now, but if you look between Chicago or between LA and Asia, there's never been as the least amount of ships on the high seas." Which is exactly what you're talking about.
Yeah, they turned some of them around.
Yeah, I mean it's and
waiting to see what to do.
So I think that that's but you know here's one, and I don't want to spend a whole lot of time on it, but you asked the question about, you know, when can you believe. I could get, you know, some of, you know, Trump's apologists, and if you ask somebody the question, the CPI, when I was doing the stuff, and I talk about this all the time, too much at Pullman, people used to actually put escalation clauses in contracts.
Yeah.
And they used the CPI. And when I was doing this, nobody really questioned the CPI. Not to the sense that they came out 1% one month, which it was. You know, was it really 0.9 or 1.1? I mean, nobody had that debate. I mean, but the 1% seemed reasonable, you know, in the next month, whatever. There was no hint that somehow or another somebody in Washington is totally baking these numbers. But if I were to ask you right now, and you know, and you're not a MAGA guy or whatever, plus it's, you know, I'm talking 20 years, there's been all kinds of Republicans and Democrats in there. But if I were to ask you, even, you know, a Trump apologist or a Biden apologist, or say, if we were in the housing business, and 20 years ago we got a contract with somebody to build them 10 houses a year, and the going price then was, say, $235 for a house, so we can deliver you the house for $215, and you can go ahead and sell it. And, oh, by the way, at the $215, we make $20,000 or something. I mean, we're not trying to be all that greedy. And we had an escalation clause on that with the CPI. How broke do you think we are today if we had to deliver that house?
It would have caught it. You would have had to have made an adjustment at some point.
Yeah, it's not even close.
When do you think the CPI became less reliable?
I think since 2000, there's two spots in there that I think are really awful. If you look at the CPI in 2000, they would say that the medical stuff is 6% of your and my basket. And it's still 6.5% of your and my basket. Yet it's now, 21% of the GDP. So clearly it's more than 6% of somebody's basket, right?
Yeah.
The other is, and I don't fully understand this, so I don't talk about it all the time, but Carl does a lot. And I understand where he's coming from, and it sounds funky to me, the idea about housing and this owner's equivalent rent.
That is a funny number.
And that's I think that's
And that chapter out of that book that I read that talked about some of the anomalies on the CPI, that was probably the biggest one that he talks about. That it's kind of a nonsensical number and pretty difficult to, and it doesn't really mean a lot. You know, I mean, what's my owner's equivalent rent in this house that I'm sitting in that I own, and I'm not, you know, and then do property tax hikes figure into owner's equivalent rent? Because that is the difference between me renting the house that's up for rent across the street and me owning this house, is I've got to pay the property taxes on this one.
Well, and I did,
and the other guy's paying up, actually the house for rent across the street's rent for rent by the church, so I guess the church wouldn't pay any taxes on that.
Well, I could throw it through the calculator here if I wasn't being lazy, but I did something, where are we, 2025? So it was before COVID. So there was a Saturday where it was like a snowstorm or something, Russell, so I had nothing better to do. I said, I've been bitching about this CPI here for a while. Maybe I should actually do a lot of research and kind of prove it to people and myself that I actually really have numbers that I'm bitching about. So I picked about five things. And I think, I think from 2000 to... 2020, I'll dig it up here. I think the CPI has something being up like 100% or 80% or something. If you look at the CPI numbers, and I'll dig these out while I'm talking. And I said, you know what? Let's take some of the biggest things that people do, and I'll find it here. CPI calculation, CPI calculator, and I'm going to say that there we go. Bureau of Labor Statistics. And this is easy to do. $1 and we'll say $1 in January 2000 to May of 2020, and we'll say that is worth $1.52. Okay, so I went back to, I said, okay, what are the biggest things that affect people like that I know, and I looked at college education. And in those 20 years, college education was up. It was, the number not being 152 was 285. So it was up, you know, it was up whatever that is, 185%, right? And not 52%. Then I looked at hospitalization, and I can't tell. So I looked at what a company like PTI pays for health insurance from 2000 to 2020. And now I'm not even, you know, I'm not going to go into the, maybe the person's now paying a little bit of it, maybe the deductible's a little higher. It's the exact same number, 285. Like almost, it's almost three times as expensive rather than 50% higher. And I looked at housing prices, and they were up substantially. But the other one, it was weird, Russell, and this is sloppy. You'd give me an F paper. I said, how can I find out what the cost of local education is? I guess I could look at Catholic high schools, but I didn't have those numbers. So I said, you know what? Why don't I take property taxes? because high property taxes are, what, 50, 55% of it goes to the schools, right? So I took I took Illinois taxes.
It's higher than that, but yeah.
So I took Illinois taxes, and somehow I found a site to trace the taxes on the average house. Guess what the number was? 285%.
What?
All three of them were the exact, were the exact number. And it's essentially three times the CPI.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so now granted, I'm going to say the cost of cell phones came down, the cost of TVs come down. How often do I buy a TV? Once every 10 years, maybe? 15 years? I mean, it's not the same as the hospitalization you pay every month. And you know what's even more bizarre? There was a, you know what? I bet you can get in because you're a professor. There is a site. If you just Google in there college tuition, you could get in there and look at this thing. Russell was the best site I think I've ever seen. Every single college, countrywide, and I had no idea there was that many colleges. Illinois's got to have like 80 of them or more.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, well, actually more.
A ton of them. Yeah.
And I mean, especially including all the junior colleges, it gave you all the tuition. Since 2000, or even before, might have been 95, the tuition in-state, out-of-state, room and board, I don't, there was like five facts for every single school. And you know what's even more bizarre is the room and board is going up way faster than the tuition.
Okay.
I mean, when I...
I can see that. Yeah, I know, like, there's... Well, I forgot which university it is that... my youngest was looking at, but they hadn't raised tuition in 15 years, but oh my God, had the fees gone up.
Well, you know, I think Northwestern, now when I looked at Northwestern was on there, they were 16 something, and that was 5 years ago. The room and board's got to be over 20.
Mm-hmm.
That's a number. Ours was one.
That's about right. I'm just thinking about, I don't know what Purdue's is going to be. I know what it costs for the last 2 years to have somebody living in a dorm in Washington, D.C.?
Mine was a grand.
No, mine was free.
You were at home, right?
Yeah, I lived at home.
Well, we had, you know, of course...
Basically, it was just like I was still in high school.
You got your choice of you know, chicken or mystery meat every night, but the food was pretty good. Nobody died.
No.
Where are we going with this? But all we're doing is lying about it. But you know what is interesting? Did you ever look at, again, something you don't ever want to do? I actually found one day when they talk about new cars, how they always adjust for the new stuff that's on the car. I actually found the thing in this.
The improvements?
Bureau of Labor Statistics for like the last 20 years for the F-150. It was fascinating. But they were, actually it might have been 10 years, and they, at the end of the day, with the improvements they had on there, they had the price of the truck like not even being up. Yet if...
It's just all the new cool stuff?
Yeah, but then again,
if it's
Russell and Chief's farm, we just want to buy a friggin' truck, and it's double the price, do we really need a backup camera? Do we really need all this other kind of... Now, some of it, you know, I get that, you know, nobody has a stick shift anymore. So you know the automatic transmission used to be $500. Well, you add that to the price, you get it. There's some of that stuff you have to do. I get it. But by the same token, if I live on a farm and I never lock my doors, do I really need power locks? Do I really need, you know, alignment sensors when I'm never on a paved road? I mean, whatever. But I mean, when you talk about new cars, and one of the most complicated things of purchase, it's funny, Russell. We actually had a call in one day when we still did call ins. And somebody says, Chief, why is the price of a car, the list price, so much higher than people normally pay for it? And I happen to know the person. I said, really? You don't know that? I wasn't trying to insult anybody. And he goes, I have no idea. And I said, well, you seem like the kind of guy that goes in, maybe has your trade-in, or maybe you just pay cash for a new car or get a loan for it. And he goes, well, yeah. And I said, well, what if you were like a huge percentage of the population where you drive in with the trade-in and the trade-in's worth 12 and, oh, by the way, you owe 14. He goes, boy, I never thought of that. So if the list price is 59 and they're going to sell it to you for 51, they now... can, because they're paying you $2,000 more, they have to pay off your debt on the car you're buying. They just make the price of a new car 53 and finance it, and nobody's the wiser. He goes, really? But, I mean, how does anybody in the last 8 years, you know, include the few years before COVID, how does anybody put this new car price down here, a new truck? Because during COVID, mm-hmm. people were paying over list, right? If you use the manufacturer's retail price, you're going nowhere, right? I mean, it's somewhat of an indicator, but not yeah. really, is it? I mean, on a month-to-month basis, is that an indicator on how much people are... I think right now...
I think it's a year-over-year. Well, don't you think it would be a good year-over-year number?
I'm saying it's somewhat of an indicator.
Even if it's not what you pay.
Yeah, it's not what... Yeah. I mean, but how does anybody know what people really pay? I mean, because...
The dealerships are probably pretty close-lipped about that.
Yeah, I mean, but during COVID, there were guys... Somebody sent me an email where they were buying a Toyota... Was it a Toyota Land Cruiser? I mean, the real high-end... Big, huge honking Toyota thing, it said due to supply chain, add $10,000 to the list price. I mean, that never showed up here.
No, it didn't. Do you almost feel like it's something that should be redone from scratch as opposed to revised every 2 years?
I think that
they don't have the personnel to do that anymore.
Once a decade, I think you need. An update. You can't if you can see a line where
they do update it every 2 years.
Okay, but they're still not
the process behind it. It's update. They do make changes every 2 years.
Okay, but do you think? I was looking at the debt clock yesterday. .org that an average price of a house in 2000 was like 210 or something, and now it's 406. Mm-hmm. I'm going to say no way on earth, and that these guys. On their housing line, have they kept up with that?
Yeah.
Now, that would be somewhat of a adjustment, wouldn't you say?
Yeah.
Well, I mean,
that's it. Yeah. No, absolutely, it should be. But, you know, they'll periodically do it when, you know, they'll update. I think they just did it last year. So next year we'll get another update on it. But I do think that maybe it's reached a point where they've kept putting Band-Aids on this thing that they may need to... take a look at a massive revamp. But to do the massive revamp, what's the motivation?
Well, you're going to tell people you've been lying forever. Nobody's going to do that.
Yeah, what's the government's motivation? You know, what reward would I get for showing up early for...
Well, you're going to have...
For putting in a month of 80-hour days to revamp the CPI. There's no motivation whatsoever to do that. Now, if I could come up with a really great... inflation indicator and, you know, get undergrads to work calculating the thing every month, you know, maybe from the private standpoint I could sell it to some investment firms or something like that, or economic research firms, but you know, you'd have to figure out a way to incentivize people to do it right, and people in government are really not incentivized to do anything right.
Well, I mean, this particular, I'm going to go out on a limb and say the people who collect these numbers, and if anybody ever looks at this, it's, you know, it says table 2, whatever. And you can, if you want, you know, table 10 and 12, there isn't anything in there that isn't listed. The detail of this stuff is mind-boggling. And I'm gonna say there's two ways you basically bleep with it. One is you take a couple of big items and you flat-out lie. The other is... You look at the percentage of your basket, because that's the other thing. You can say, okay, what is Russell's basket? Now, if you say, what would you, most people, I mean, Nancy will tell you, when people first move into a house, it could be like half of their income goes to the house. If you talk about insurance and taxes and everything, I'm going to say, well, I'll look and see what they have here on. Owner's equivalent rent is nowhere near that, I don't think. It's let me find it. But if you were to say we know medical care costs are going off the chart. We don't want to account for that. Why don't we just say it's 6% of somebody's basket instead of 20? Well, that's if you went back to 2000, Russell, and put and adjusted the medical piece to 20%. I think your inflation rate every year would have been 1.5% higher than was published, just by that one adjustment. And if you make that adjustment, you're going to find that we're in a recession for 25 years. That's how serious I think some of this is.
I think there is a certain segment of people that's just how their life seems to be going.
No, I'm saying it.
Unfortunately, I do think that there are people that could probably say that they are, that they've been feeling like they're in a recession for the last decade or so.
Well, if they are correct that the median income in 2000 of a person, not of a family, was mm-hmm. 31,000, and now it's 40 or 41. Mm-hmm. Good God. I mean, you're up, and now, not to mention the fact it puts you in a different tax bracket, right? Do you think that person has kept pace with inflation? I don't see how the hell they possibly could.
No, I don't think I don't think anybody really has.
But you ask why does people don't want to do the fix? What if you told all the old people in this country on Social Security that the real cost of living increases should have been like double for the last 20 years?
Mm-hmm.
Is that going to go over like a fart in church or what?
It's not going to be. It's not going to go over. The majority of people probably don't even know what the CPI is.
Well,
they know what they know what it costs to run their household each week, and if they've got anything left at the end of the week, or if they've got to make adjustments because things are going up in price more than they're going up for individuals.
Well, for the last,
I know that the government's been giving us an unreliable inflation number for some time, but the average I don't mean to pick on my sister, but we're just so different. She's the person I'm closest to that's kind of a blue collar type person, but we have this deal where I have the mortgage on her house. She's supposed to pay me for it. Other things have gone up so much, she was barely getting by month to month, so I took over the mortgage on her place. So she knows that her pay hasn't gone up as quickly as some of the things as her budget has gone up, but she doesn't realize that the government's telling us that's really not what's going on. Well, you remember Don Lemon doing interviews with people on the street and saying, well, the government said you're wrong. The government says the prices aren't going up. Well, first off, Don Lemon's extremely wealthy, so he doesn't, I doubt that anything hits him in the pocketbook. But regular people, I'm well aware of how much more I've got going out the door in my house this year than I did last year.
Well, you haven't, fortunately, knock on wood, you haven't come across a new roof, new air conditioner, big repair on your car.
Oh, yes, I have.
Okay, yeah.
Oh, yeah, I have. Well, in the past year, we've had a flooded basement. We have to replace the fence, and we had to replace the front porch in this house.
Well, if I could,
I have that. There's a reason that I do a lot of consulting work.
Yeah, well, I would say if I went back, I have all the emails from the place, the place, the guys I have that will make windows for me.
Uh-huh.
I'm going to say that they're twice what they were 7 years ago. I mean, it's not even close. Not to mention trying to find somebody to put them in. Some of it is I was at this funeral in Marengo a few weeks ago. I was talking to a guy who's a plumber. And he said, mm-hmm. And another guy who remodels houses, and he goes, the price of getting anybody to do any work. And the guy says, there's people that have retired. There's not a whole lot of young plumbers that certainly aren't. A lot of them are, most of them are Hispanic. And there's not a whole lot of young... There's not a whole lot of white middle class families in Chicago whose sons become plumbers now, which is probably pretty foolish because you do pretty damn well as a plumber, maybe on the side or something. But people just aren't into those blue collar. A lot of people aren't into those blue collar jobs, but you can do exceptionally well with doing that, and you own mm-hmm. your own company and all those kinds of things. It's kind of neat. But he says I don't take any jobs I don't want. He goes, I have so many people wanting to hire me. It's scary. I mean, the demand in those areas, I mean, like I say, car fixing, everything, it's, you know, and what are we going to do? I mean, it's kind of the argument I was having with Kevin, or the discussion is, you know, what is going on here? I mean, are we left with two plumbing companies? Are we left with, I mean, are they borrowing money, you know, 5% cheaper than you and I that have three trucks because they got 20 trucks? There should be a little bit of a difference, but is it, I mean, the way the banks are now, I don't know if small places get loans. Illinois is kind of, we're kind of spoiled. We have a lot of small banks, but I think a lot of states don't, right? Indiana's got, they're not as big a branch, well, as smaller banks as Illinois, but there's still some there, right?
It's all regional banks. It's kind of funny.
Okay.
There's not like a giant bank, you know, Bank of America tower.
Are you here or are you there? Are you teaching summer?
I'm here. I'm teaching summer, but I teach on Mondays down there.
Just on one day?
So, and I did something called a mini university, which is a bunch of alumni coming in for lectures. I did a whole thing on Bitcoin on Monday morning for a bunch of alumni.
Hey, good for you.
Yeah, it was fun. It was really fun. Smart people.
We don't have any time, but we had a couple of our clients call in, and I asked Carl about it. This one thing, what is it, gold coin or gold something something, where instead of being, in my opinion, totally worthless like Bitcoin, but obviously it's trading $100,000.
Right.
So I sure wish I had a few, but they're trying to bridge the gap between it being having no underlying value and having some where they're acquiring like land that they think has gold in it.
Oh.
And they're saying, okay, we're not going to tear up the ground and actually mine the gold, but here's where we think a bunch is. So it's going to be the basis of our coin.
Oh, my goodness gracious.
But, you know, it's almost like saying we're going to go buy a whole bunch of acres in the Permian or something. We're not going to drill, but, oh, by the way, if the coins coins will be based on the oil in this area, and if we ever have to, we can go get it kind of thing. I mean, it kind of weird, but it's a sort of a step in the, well, what's behind it? At least they got some answer, right?
Something behind it. Yeah, I'd rather just buy the gold ETF.
Oh, yeah. Well, what do you make of that? Where do you think, by the way, one market question for you.
Uh-huh.
We'll actually make it two because we'll take a minute over here. Interest rates, are they gonna blow through the number here? It seems like the 30-year can't get through 5. The 10-year can't get through 4.5.
It's kind of stuck. And, you know, you would have, apparently it's not, the rates aren't going up today from what I read in a headline, so... Not totally shocked.
If all the central banks continue the last 2 months, and they may not, or they've upgraded the amount of money they're pouring in the system, does that mean the metals are a buy? Is Bitcoin obviously goes up every day. I'm not going to say that's a buy, but is everything still a buy if they're going to keep?
I would take a look at silver over gold because silver has lagged gold so much, and there's actually industrial uses. So if we get the supply chain stuff under control. You'll probably see an increase in demand for silver once again. So that's what I would do.
We actually have a lot of that. We made some money in the options there in the last few weeks.
Awesome.
What about platinum and uranium?
I've been buying. There are two or three stocks that are associated with uranium, and I think nuclear is going to be one of the solutions that gets us out of our energy problem. So I think uranium might be like the next, NVIDIA type situation. Maybe not to the same extent, but just hear me out. I mean, NVIDIA was in the right place at the right time with their the chips that were needed for AI. Now there's excess energy needed for electric cars, for AI, and still for Bitcoin mining. And you see, you know, Microsoft is partnering with a firm that's going to restart one of the reactors at Three Mile Island.
Yeah.
Power their... Now, first off, Chief, and I got a really good response because everybody was in their 70s at my Bitcoin talk. But I said, first off, why the hell haven't they renamed Three Mile Island? You know, but I mean, half of us, I was 10 years old and we thought we were melting down to China. That was kind of a terrifying thing for a kid at that time.
Well, they're not restarting the one that blew.
No, they're not. But still, why wouldn't you rename the? I would rename the facility.
Well, you know, by the way, in addition to that,
I would rename the facility. You know, it's the Pennsylvania nuclear.
I would.
Plant,
you know, there's
something.
Somebody also is restarting the one over in Coloma, Michigan. That's
they
been
are,
mothballed.
And they're starting one in. And they're starting one in the in Western Illinois. And the governor of Indiana at an investment conference I went to said, "We're going to be replacing those wind farms with nuclear."
Well, we got
the
dash,
wind farms aren't economically effective anymore.
Well, the one you're talking about in Illinois is actually in Clinton, Illinois. I think it's still running, and I think they signed a contract essentially to keep it running.
Exactly. It was supposed. All of these things were supposed to be shut down, and they're suddenly realizing that we really need them.
Well, you know, here's my caution. By the way, we did some stuff for some people in Uranium the other day. So full disclosure, mm-hmm. we just did a little spread. It was nothing major, but I had the same discussion with one of the guys who used to be on the show, and he's all agog uranium as well. And I said, okay, I'm with you on the future. You just got to be careful on this because there's not one just started up 6 months ago. Down in Georgia,
yeah.
Someplace, there is not one right now under construction. And like you, I think that we should get moving on this like pretty damn fast. But but it's like I say, there's not one under construction. It's not like six or seven are going to come online next year and they need uranium. We're a ways away from needing it.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, I'm with you on this totally. But I'd love to see the breeder reactor come back. You know, the one I think we've been so far behind in this, it's scary, but I mean, this is not an easy startup, for God's sake.
No, it's not.
Why do you think nobody mentions the one in Zion ever coming back on? Is that thing was so screwed up that's the newest one and it's been closed
probably,
for 40 years.
Probably why? Yeah, somebody will take a look at it and figure out if they can fix it or not.
So the Martians are going to land here 500 years from now and they're still going to see the thing sitting there and go, what the hell was this?
That's where we worship the god of nuclear.
Oh, God. Anyway, have a nice week, buddy. Drive safe. S&P futures up 13. NASDAQ futures up 68. Back tomorrow. Stocks and Jacks.